Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Aarti Drugs Limited Q4 FY24 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performances and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Adhish Patil. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning to everyone present on the earnings conference call of Aarti Drugs Limited. I extend a warm welcome to everyone joining us today to discuss our financial results for the quarter and full year ended 31st March 2024. On this call, we are joined by Mr. Harshit Savla, Joint Managing Director, Mr. Harit Shah, Whole-time Director of Aarti Drugs Limited, and Mr. Vishwa Savla, Managing Director of Pinnacle Life Science Private Limited and SGA, our investor relations advisor. I hope everyone had an opportunity to go through the financial results, press release, and investor presentation, which we have uploaded on the stock exchange and on the company's website. Let me begin with the highlights of the quarterly financial performance, followed by full year FY24. Our revenue for quarter four FY24 stood at rupees 621 crores as against rupees 743 crores, decline of 16.4%. Decline is majorly on part of negative rate variance across our product stream. EBITDA stood at rupees 87 crores with EBITDA margin at 14%, improved by 130 basis points year-on-year. PAT stood at rupees 47 crores and PAT margins at 7.6%. For full year FY24, our revenue stood at around rupees 2,533 crores as against rupees 2,718 crores, decline of 6.8% on account of negative rate variance, along with sluggish demand in export market for the API and specialty chemical segment. However, there was very good volume growth in domestic market for the same segment. EBITDA stood at around rupees 321 crores as against rupees 308 crores. EBITDA margin stood at 12.7%, improved by 140 basis points. PAT stood at rupees 172 crores and PAT margin at 6.8%, improved by 70 basis points. Now, coming to segmental performance for full year 2024, with the visible geopolitical uncertainties, supply chain hurdles, and pricing volatility, our business demonstrated resilient performance in FY24. Though decline in top line is attributed to lower realizations stemming from negative rate variance and subdued export market demand in API businesses. However, there has been a notable improvement in gross margins, credited to the stabilization of input cost noticed in latter half of FY24 and operational efficiencies across the majority of our product lines. Furthermore, we project a further enhancement in gross margins in near future, mostly driven by upturn in selling price levels due to anticipated growth in export sales. Amid heightened interest rates, dollar shortages, destocking, supply chain hurdles, and conservative ordering, export demand encountered challenges in select regions during Q4 and FY24. Nonetheless, we anticipate a positive shift in the export landscape in the near future on back of interest rate reductions, low stock levels, and upswing in demand. Despite these hurdles, our outlook remains optimistic on attaining our growth and margin targets. On standalone basis, Q4 FY24 revenue stood at ₹560.64 crores as against ₹697.34 crores, a decline of 19.6% year-on-year, where 13.6% decline was impacted due to negative rate variance. The standalone business contributed approximately 89% to the consolidated revenue for the quarter, out of which 67% of the revenues came from the domestic market and 35% from the export market for Q4 FY24 for a standalone business. Within API business, the antibiotic therapeutic category contributed around 45%, anti-protozoal around 17%, anti-diabetic around 15%, anti-inflammatory around 11%, anti-fungal around 9%, and the rest contributed around 3% to the total API sales for Q4 FY24. Formulation segment's revenue at ₹68 crores for the quarter for full year, revenue stood at ₹325 crores with growth of 18.5% year-on-year. I would like to highlight a key update on our formulation segment that recently U.S. FDA had carried out inspection at Baddi plant operated by our subsidiary, and on conclusion of the inspection, none of the observations were pertaining to data integrity, and we are working on resolving reported observations. Post this, we are optimistic of getting clearance on the U.S. formulation plant at the earliest. Now, coming to specialty chemical segment, although the India's domestic chemicals demand is projected to remain robust in 2024 with low expectations in price increase, the market faces various challenges of finding equilibrium amidst the introduction of new production capacities within the country, shifting trade dynamics, subdued global demand, and fluctuating upstream prices. The company's balance sheet continues to remain healthy, with leverage remaining comfortably at 0.44x. For FY24, our return on capital employed stood at 14.2%, and return on equity stood at 13.9%. As of 31st March 2024, our net cash flow from operations stood at 359 crores as against 133 crores as of March 2023. On update on the ongoing capital investment, the capital expenditure incurred during full year of FY24 amounted to ₹226 crores. Recently, greenfield project at Tarapur facility for dermatology products has been commenced, and the ramp-up is planned throughout first half of FY25. Greenfield project at Gujarat Saykha for specialty chemicals and intermediates is on track, which we plan to commence by end of Q1 FY25 and then scale up in Q4 of FY25. With this, the operating leverage is expected to kick in from second half year of FY25 with improved capacity utilization. The company has incurred a CapEx of ₹543 crores in the last 3 years, mainly towards capacity expansion, backward integration, and new product launches across API and formulation segment. The majority of the company's ₹600 crore CapEx has been completed, and balance is expected to be completed soon. These initiatives are expected to reduce the cost along with the expansion in profit margins and the top-line growth. The pharma API manufacturing industry is constantly evolving, and we are committed to staying ahead of the curve. In the upcoming year, we plan to continue expanding our capabilities and enhancing our offerings to meet the ever-changing needs of the customers by improving our capacity utilization. We also plan to invest in new technologies and equipment that will help us streamline our processes, reduce carbon footprint, and improve efficiency. As we navigate through short-term challenges, our commitment to overcome these obstacles and achieving long-term success remains unwavering. Our journey may be characterized by uncertainty, but it is equally defined by our collective ability to adapt, innovate, and emerge together. Together, united and determined, the company shall continue to scale the success story. I reiterate on our positive outlook for both our API and non-API business, that is the formulation business. Our ongoing projects, coupled with optimized capabilities, will serve as a cornerstone of steady growth in the coming years. Importantly, we anticipate continued growth in exports within the formulation business. With this, we can now begin question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Participants present on the audio bridge who wish to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rashmi Shetty from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and good morning, everyone. First question on the pricing environment, Adish, if you can comment on it, whether the API prices will be stabilized at the current level or you see that, you know, there might be some upswing in the prices. In case if it is yes, then what are the factors that would actually lead to the prices to go up? And also, if you can comment on the KSM scenarios, you know, in a warlike situation, any increase in the KSM or in raw materials, are you seeing or are you noticing that?
Okay, thank you, Rashmi. So as far as pricing environment of API is concerned, we saw decline in December quarter. Then from December to March quarter, the prices have almost stabilized now. So they are not falling further. However, recently we saw some uptick in the crude prices. So if the crude goes beyond a certain point, then definitely that uptick will start creeping into the prices of crude derivatives like solvents which we use. Almost 65 to 70% of our raw materials are directly or indirectly dependent on the crude prices. So that is the only factor which can, if at all, make the API prices go up. Then as far as the availability of the KSMs is concerned, as of now, everything seems stable. The only hiccup we had recently was delayed shipments due to the Red Sea scenario. Apart from that, there are no shortages in availability of any KSM. And even in war-like scenario, I think Harish would better be able to answer that question.
Yeah, as far as raw materials are concerned, most of the import raw materials are coming from China, so we don't face any issues regarding Red Sea. A delay in shipments, and raw materials and KSM prices are quite stable so far. Unless crude goes up beyond $100, we'll see some uplift in the pricing of raw materials and KSM. Thank you.
Okay, and related to this, so as of now, you feel that the prices will be more or less at the stabilized level, and currently, there is not much risk on the raw materials, so at least we can expect some gross margin improvement in this year because of this. Also, if you can let me know, how much PPM are we adding for this new greenfield project which is coming related to derma segment?
Pardon me, how much? What we are adding, you said?
ton per month? How much production ton per month we are adding for this Derma project?
Yeah. The final production capacity for my dermatology project would be around 2,000 tons per month, the final one. It will be ramped up slowly in first half of FY25, that is in next two quarters, because we are stepping up the production by putting up more and more reactors on a stepwise basis. Anyway, that will coincide with the gestation period of the demand.
Got it. And excluding this Derma greenfield project, what is the capacity utilization at the company level currently?
Yes. So, excluding this greenfield project, it could be around between mid to late 70s.
Get it.
Thanks.
Sorry, it is how much?
Between mid to late 70, 75 to 79%.
Okay, just last question. If you are expecting that the new capacities will be coming in, prices will be getting stabilized, can we expect low double-digit kind of revenue growth both on the API segment as well as the specialty segment in the FY25? And what would be the EBITDA margin outlook?
Yeah. So as far as the growth is concerned, we do expect a good volume growth. However, what we foresee is that, as you have seen in the last four quarters, the prices have gone down. So probably FY25 will have prices for all four quarters similar to that of the last quarter of FY24. So that might lead to a little bit of negative rate variance around, say, 5 to 8%. So considering that negative rate variance, still we would target to reach that 10% the top line growth mark. We should target that in spite of the negative rate variance. And as far as EBITDA is concerned, so we now more and more confident that we should be crossing that 14% mark at the company level. And slowly, if the situation continues to be stable, then probably we will try to reach the 15% mark.
Got it, sir. That is really helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Dhwanil Desai from Turtle Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, Adish and everyone. Adish, my first question is, if I look at our standalone and console numbers, seems that in the formulation segment, there is a big delta coming on the margin side. So if you can talk a bit about that, is there any one-off involved in here, or how should we look at the formulation margin on the Pinnacle side?
Yes, Vishwa, can you answer the question?
Yeah, sure. So basically, the formulation margin in Pinnacle has been increasing basically because of a switch in the business model and growing exports. So as a conscious decision, we are trying to replace our domestic CMO business to more of value-added export business in Latin America, Asia, Africa, and now increasingly in regulated markets. Every year, every quarter, our international markets contribution to sales is increasing, and majorly that is what is leading to the higher margins. So we see that trend continuing, and the margin level is being sustained to the level that we achieved in the current year.
Okay, because just to clarify, we are, if I do the numbers, it is coming out to be 20% plus margins, and historically, and that's a big delta coming in. So I just want to ensure there is no one-off, and 20% plus kind of a margin on the Pinnacle side is sustainable. Is that right?
Obviously, we had a good year in terms of in general in formulation industry because of lower API prices and reduced API prices in general. That has had a small impact. So if material prices rise up sharply in the year, that could slightly reduce margins. But the major delta that you're seeing is because of a switch from domestic CMO sales to international sales. And that is not a one-off, that is the continued part of a Pinnacle. So that margins would remain at a higher level.
Okay, got it. Second question on this USFDA audit on the Pinnacle, and you know, what is the significance of that? And I think we were doing expansion on the oncology side also. But if I look at your new product on the formulation side, I don't see many on the oncology side. So have we already, you know, kind of developed those products, and what is the roadmap for us scaling up in the US market on the formulation side?
Right. So our oncology plant is brand new. We just started the plant. We commissioned the plant a few quarters back, and with the first filing, we could trigger the USFDA inspection. We have a strong pipeline of products coming in oncology. We are developing about 12 to 14 oral oncology molecules, which would all come into filing over the next 6 to 18 months. And many of them are kind of day one launches, with patents expiring from 25 till 27, 28. So with the FDA audit approval coming in hopefully in the next quarter, and with we should have more and more filings, not only for US but also for international markets, and that would start bringing us revenues from the oncology segment.
So how many ANDAs we have already filed on the oncology side for US market?
Only one so far.
Only one. And rest are in the pipeline. So we'll do the filing and approval process for 18 to 24 months. So it's like 2 years out, right? So
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Third question on the API side, Adish, I think we have said that, you know, we have almost completed our CapEx, a very large part of our 600 crore CapEx plan. And, you know, we have said that we'll go to 4,000 to 4,500 crore in 5 to 6 years. But if I look at historically, we have generally utilized our capacity in 2 to 3 years at optimal level. So where is this disconnect? Because I think we have mentioned that at the full utilization, we'll reach those revenues. So are we looking at slower ramp up, or is it because of the negative rate variance, we think it will take much longer to reach that number? If you can, throw some light there.
So the negative rate variance will definitely impact, no doubt about that. As far as the utilization ramp-up is concerned in terms of quantity, so along with this greenfield, we continuously keep on expanding the existing products in terms of by debottlenecking the existing plants. And that is the reason why, you know, the reason our capacity utilization is in the 70s in terms of percentage of the installed capacity. It's because we keep on adding those small capacities every year, wherever we see the demand. So thing is, 4,000, it seems doable, not that it is too optimistic. But definitely, last year we suffered a lot because of the sluggish export demand. That was one of the factors which pulled us back. Apart from that, our domestic market made a fantastic growth of around 15 to 17% in terms of volume growth. But it was the export market, almost around 10% volume degrowth was observed if you compare entire FY24 with respect to FY23.
No, I get that. So my question is that earlier our target was that once we get the CapEx is commercialized, we will optimally utilize it in 2.5 to 3 years.
Correct.
We are at the end of commercializing most of the CapEx, maybe a little bit of that is still remaining. But so I'm saying 4,000 journey to 4,000 or 4,500, whatever number you want to take. Will it take 3 years or will it take 5 to 6 years? In your presentation, it was 5 to 6 years.
Actually, we need to update that a little bit, but we feel that once the project is streamlined in terms of the production capabilities, within 3 years, we should be able to scale up.
Okay. Got it. And last question on the margin. I think we have all along been saying that our normalized margin are around 15 to 16%, varying the volatility in RM and realization. And we have done that in the past, and with the new CapEx being on the higher margin side and formulation kicking in, which again, you know, we are moving to higher margin trajectory. So once everything, you know, is fully utilized, is it that the company's margin profile will change from 15-16% to maybe more like 17-18%? Is that a right assumption to work with?
If everything was well, it is achievable. The thing is, as of now, we have very diversified basket of products in terms of APIs also, in tech-in, and also formulation. So, even in the API segment, we manufacture almost around 40 to 50 molecules in a year. The top 20 is what is contributing the most, but the tail molecules will probably grow bigger in coming 5 years. So what happens is few products here and there always are in negative cycle. So reaching that 17-18% EBITDA margin mark might be slightly difficult, but at least hitting that 15-16% mark would be easier than what it is right now, I would say.
Okay, got it. Thank you. That's it from my side and all this.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Pooja Mehta from JC Securities. Please go ahead. Pooja Mehta? Participant line got disconnected. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Pramod from Unifi Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thanks, and good morning to everybody. You know, just if you can give some data on the volume and the price variance you already given. When we look at the API, what was the volume in the domestic and the export market?
Yeah. So, as far as... should I give you FY24? Because sometimes what happens that demand of first quarter gets moved to second quarter. So, probably I would first give you the landscape of volume growth for the entire financial year. That is FY24 versus FY23. So if you see, compare the entire year, financial year, we had a volume growth of around 7% on a total basis. However, the domestic market performed well and the volume growth was almost 16 to 17%. Whereas the export market, there was volume degrowth of around 9 to 10%. So this was about the volumes in the, as far as the entire year is concerned, and as far as the quarter is concerned, so if you compare year which is March 24 quarter versus March 23 quarter, we had a quantity negative growth of around 6%, and that is mainly because of the export market. Because export market, we saw a degrowth of almost around 15% for the last quarter. Whereas for the domestic market, it was almost flat. Instead of hardly 1% decline was there. But in domestic market, I would say still the performance was good because March 23 quarter, that is the last financial year, what happened was that the first three quarters selling prices were so high that there was continuous destocking of API by the formulation companies. And when the prices collapsed finally in December 22, that is when in the March 23 quarter, suddenly there was lot of buying of API by the formulation company. And hence the volume of the domestic market in March 23 quarter was very high. And with comparing to that quarter, now we have done almost just 1% less. So I would still say that the volumes in the domestic market is good, but it is the export market where we need to perform really well. And we are hoping that in the coming financial year, all those destocking is completed. The interest rate cycle now will move downward. So there will be more government tenders in terms of the foreign countries giving tenders to their local formulation companies, which in turn creates export market demand for us. So next year should be better in terms of exports.
Okay. So when you say the export is down 15% in the volume term, right, in the Q4?
Yeah, I was talking about the volume. Yeah.
Okay. And as you said that the situation is improving now, so what we are hearing from the customers now, is it the distorting is completely over or still they are into the same phase? Another to that was earlier there were a few of the countries were facing the dollar issues, the availability of the dollar. So are our customers or the countries in the South America or Africa is over, had overcome those issues now?
From the customers? As far as dollar shortage issues are concerned, definitely those are minimized as compared to the last year. Last year it was much severe. However, what we need to be watchful of is the current geopolitical tension in the Middle East. So more and more countries should not get involved in the conflict. Otherwise, we don't know. Then the situation might be a little dicey.
Okay. And we are waiting for the, FDA inspection for the API plant. So any update on that? Had they come back or they're still status quo?
Yeah. So it is status quo, frankly speaking, though we have recently sent a reminder also to the FDA office. So as we said last time, that our file has been moved from the response review department to the ORA department now, that is the inspection department. So because we have import alert on the API facility, standing import alert, I think most probably the inspection would be a surprise one. And because the FDA calendar usually starts from October to September, and from October onwards only the file has been moved to the inspection department. So we are hoping that in this year of FDA's financial calendar, there has to be some activity, so which might lead to trigger an inspection. And three of the ANDAs are active, which are referring our DMF from that USMK plant. So those customers are also following up with FDA now. So we have also reminded directly to the FDA inspection office. So probably by September, we are keeping fingers crossed that there might be some kind of surprise inspection.
Okay, great. And when you said that on the formulation, we have filed one for the US, market, and we are going to file another 12 to 14 oil molecule. What kind of the total capacity we are looking in the formulation over the next one and a half year? Once all this is filing is done, and what kind of the revenue we can target? Say in 2026.
Yeah, we should answer the
formulation.
So specifically for the oncology segment that I mentioned, 12 to 14 products, the potential revenue, the new revenue that we can target is about 300 to 350 crores of additional revenue, which would take the next 24 to 36 months, considering the approval times and for the products to be launched. But yeah, 24 to 36 months down the line, oncology revenue should be at about 300 crores. And apart from the oncology, even in the non-oncology space and non-US markets, we are filing a lot of cardiac, diabetic, and other segment products. which would also lead to a good growth on the non-oncology segment as well.
Okay, great to hear that. So that means our current rate, which is around 300 crore rupees today in the formulation, can actually double over the next, more than double over the next 2 to 2.5 years.
Over the next 3 years.
Next year, 3 years. Okay,
yeah.
Great. Thanks. This is from, I will come back on the queue.
Sure.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Pooja Mehta from JC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. So I have a couple of questions. So what margins in future do we expect, like given the raw material prices and selling price fluctuating? And we have a good cash flow from operations as on March 24, like due to release in working capital. Though our short-term borrowing have increased versus March 23. So could you throw some light on the same?
Yeah, actually the short-term borrowing is only 215 at a consolidated level. Probably that might be the term loan installment what you're talking about. The short-term borrowing is now only 215, so it must have decreased as compared to last year. And our long-term borrowing is around 348 crores. So the total debt stands at 563 crores at the consolidated level. So and the debt equity has also gone down to 0.44 at a consolidated level and 0.4 at a standalone level. Now, as far as the margins are concerned, so gross margins have been continuously improving on a sequential basis in the last financial year, quarter on quarter basis. So with the current selling prices of API, we expect that the gross contribution should go at least till the level of 35%, and right now it is somewhere just below 34%. So we hope that around 1% more improvement should be there as far as gross contribution is concerned.
Okay, got it, sir. Thanks a lot.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Rashmi Shetty from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again. Can you just guide on the capex, for FY25-26, since we have already completed the major capex?
Yes. So last year we almost did an investing cash flow from 226 crores. Our two greenfield projects, one was almost done, means it was put to use. Only some ramp-up was pending, which is still pending now. And the Saika one, that will commence in towards the end of Q1, I would say. So that spillover capex would be there for FY25. And we are estimating, we have kept a budget of around 200 to 250 crores for the coming financial year, that is FY24-25.
Okay, and so this will be the last leg of the CAPEX. From FY26, we can just expect maintenance CAPEX to go ahead?
From FY26, other thing is, we will still be introducing few products, but the CAPEX required may not be that high. At the formulation side, we might require some graphics for developing and registering more and more oncology products. So we'll be keeping budget on that as well. Apart from that, on the API, on the spec chem side also, we have one or two products which we want to launch. So right now that those projects are on paper. So once it's finalized and we decide to go ahead with the CAPEX, then we will announce the CAPEX plan very soon.
Okay, but otherwise it will be more or less in the range of 150 to 200 crores, right?
Yeah, correct.
Okay, and another question is on your working capital cycle. Your receivable days has actually come down in FY24 versus FY23. You know, which will be more or less similar for the future also, or you feel that it will pick up, you know, with the sales also picking up?
So the receivable days slightly might get impacted on the quarter, because I will tell you the reason. The reason why this operating cash flow is suddenly released for the March 2024 is because there was tremendous price reduction. So for similar kind of growth, now the working capital required is much lesser, and that was the main reason why there was such. No doubt, the overall the receivables are good. Fortunately, there are no bad debts as such. But then we feel that the release in the operating this cash flow has come mainly because of the lower selling prices and the lower requirement of working capital in Q4.
Thank you. That's it for me.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Reshma Jain from DSP Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Resham here from DSP. So, one question of the overall...
So, you're not audible?
Am I audible? Hello?
Yes, sir, better.
Yeah, okay. So, just one question on the overall CAPEX which you have incurred. Let's say 3 years out, what kind of EBITDA trajectory you're looking at, given that, let's say, last 4 years, if I take 21 as a year when you had a kind of very good benefits because of COVID and all, but 3-4% kind of CAGR growth at EBITDA level. So let's say 3 years out, what kind of EBITDA growth you are looking at the company level, consolidated?
I don't have a number ready right now, but then the thing is, We are hoping that we'll be reaching that 4,000 crore turnover soon, and the steady state EBITDA, if everything goes well, should be in the range of 15.5 to 16% at a turnover of 4,000.
Okay, so basically doubling of EBITDA in next 3 years.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Pramod Dangi from Unifi Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks again. Hello?
Yes.
Yeah. Thanks again. You just said in an earlier question that the price variance which we are looking at for this year is around 5 to 8% negative, given the higher base of 2024. How it pan out in the June quarter and September quarter? Should it be higher in the June quarter and then it will go down as we as the higher base goes away, and by December we will see the positive price variance? Is it how it should look?
Yeah, yes. I understood your question. So last, that is FY24, the prices have been falling slowly. Every quarter there was a decline. If I compare year-on-year, March quarters, March 2023 and March 2024 quarter. In domestic market, there is almost a decline of 15%. In the export market, there is a decline of almost 10%-11% in terms of rates. I'm talking just about rates. Now the March 2024 selling prices, we are expecting them to continue for the FY 2025. The initial half, the first half of FY 2025, the negative rate variance would be more, relatively more. It won't be to the tune of this, what I just told you, that is 15%-11%, because in June quarter itself, there was some negative price variation as compared to the March quarter. That is, I'm talking about June 2023. Yeah. The first half, the negatively more negative price variance, but in the second half it will be quite minimal.
Okay. We are looking at least, you said 7%-8% volume growth for full year, right? Including the new capacity, or it will be like 10%+?
Okay. The last year, FY 2024, we did 7% volume growth. For the coming year, we would definitely target around, you know, 15% sort of volume. Internally, we should target around 15% sort of volume growth, given the additional new capacity.
Okay. For 15% volume growth, 7%-8% negative price variance, top line will be like high single digit top line growth we would have.
Correct. Somewhat, yeah.
Okay, good. Thanks.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Yug Mehta from AP Capital. Please go ahead. Yug Mehta? The participant got disconnected. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Nikhil Upadhyay from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, good morning. Adhish, just one question on the previous participant. You were explaining the pricing. If you can just help me understand again, I missed some part of it.
Okay.
If we consider first half of 2024 versus second half of 2024, YOY, how the prices trend would have played out? Secondly, at the end, you said that in first half of 2025, there will be some minimal price impact, but second half pricing should be better. If you can just explain that bit again. Sorry about it.
Yes. What I was explaining was that over the period of last 12 months, if we are talking about March 2024 quarter, that is. Over the period of last 12 months, the domestic market, there was negative price variance of almost around 15%, 15. For export market, it was around 10.5%-11% negative price variance. Now, this variation in the negative variation that happened every month-on-month in the last financial year. In fact, in December and March quarter, it was very minimal. The movement was very minimal. That was the reason I was talking that, because FY 2025 selling prices will be more or less similar to that of March 2024 quarter. March 2024 quarter selling prices will be similar to FY 2025 selling prices. That is why I was saying that the first half of FY 2025, you can see a little bit of negative price variation. For the second half of FY 2025, the negative price variation would be very minimal as compared to the previous year-on-year I'm talking about.
Okay. Thanks for that explanation. Just one last question. See, what we had also seen is that many of these molecules, because post-COVID, there were a lot of capacities which had come up, both in the domestic and in China market and other competitive markets. Now, in last one and a half years, how is the situation on the capacity side, both at the intermediate and among our top 10 molecules? Are you seeing rationalization or some idea there.
So as far as the top our API molecules are concerned, let's say the top 15 molecules, API plus spectrum which we manufacture in the standalone company. Over there is apart from metformin product, there has not been any capacity increases because most of those top 15 molecules are mature molecules. So there was not much capacity enhancement observed in the market for those molecules except for metformin, which is a growing product. So apart from metformin, we haven't seen any sharp increase in capacity. Not even, forget sharp, but we haven't seen any significant increase in capacities for the top 15 molecules of ours.
Okay. So which means that all this pressure was mainly because of this inventory destocking. Which
mainly for our molecules mainly because of that, but if we talk about the trail molecules like let's say 16 to the 40th molecule which we are manufacturing, in that space definitely even we have added the capacity, so in that space there will be capacity enhancement, but for the existing molecules there is not much.
So among our top 15 molecules, we've not seen any major capacity addition except for metformin. So there it's largely that inventory destocking which impacted.
Right.
Lower end molecules, the capacities would have come. Even we have added capacity.
Correct.
So on the inventory destocking side, based on what you are talking or your customer feedback, what are you hearing like? Are any sense, so on the volume side, you said we are now seeing volume growth and even next year you said volume growth should improve. But then shouldn't it translate into a better pricing also if there is no more capacities which have come up?
The thing is people are having that much capacity already. To suffice. Well, last year the exports was quite down, frankly speaking. The increase in demand may not lead for existing top 15 molecules I'm talking about. Unless, overall the pricing levels will go up, that is purely because the export selling prices are higher than the domestic selling prices. So, surely because of the increase in the proportion of exports, our composite selling price should go up. That is one thing. But, within the export market itself, the pricing impact it would be stable. I won't say it would be better, but it should be stable on increase for it, I guess.
Okay, sure. Thanks a lot. I'll come back.
Okay.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Okay. Thank you everyone for joining us today on this earnings call. We appreciate for your interest in Aarti Drugs Limited and the questions you asked. If you have any further queries, please contact SGA, our investor relations advisor, or you can directly reach back to us as well. Okay. Have a nice day.
On behalf of Aarti Drugs Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.